Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast live version, live edition. And we are going to talk about a lot of Auburn recruiting, a lot of the stuff that's been going on, Jared Smith committing, and then what that actually means. What that actually means for, state perspective, really take back and look at, give you some ammo when you're in those conversations where people are trying to downplay what's going on. It's a historical run. Like, we're on a historical in-state run, and I don't see the train really stopping anytime soon. So I really appreciate you guys listening, joining in, joining the chat, fire up the questions. We'll hit some questions towards the end, and as I see them pop up, if they're on topic, we'll dive right in. So, no surprise, Saturday, Jared Smith goes ahead and pulls the trigger for Auburn. It's been kind of scheduled for a little bit, as far as we kind of it wasn't a super big surprise. We knew that Auburn was trending. We knew that Auburn was sitting in a very good spot with Jared. And Saturday, it was no shock. He went ahead and pulled the trigger for Auburn, joins this class, takes Auburn up to number five in the 247 rankings. Depending on which site you look at, you're looking at five and five or six. And Auburn's not slowing down anytime soon. Auburn's not stopping anytime soon. So it's another big addition. Depending on which site you like to follow, he's a five star on 247. He's a high four star elsewhere. You're talking the number two player in the state of Alabama. Sorry, Tim Taylor, stay up, baby. Let's get after it. He said he was about to go to bed, but we're getting after it right now. So yeah, depending on which site you look at, Auburn's right where you need to be, right where you need to be, with several recruits still left on the table, a little bit of meat left on the bone to go ahead and push this class over the edge, and get inside that top five, get inside that top five number. Maybe even possibly there's a pathway to push to a number three, maybe even a number two class, and we'll kind of dive into what that would look like as well. But let's talk Jared Smith. Look, Jared Smith's recruitment started off a lot similar to, if you're from the state of Alabama, last year Justin Ross was a five-star edge from Vestavia Hill. And for whatever reason, there was like no interest in Auburn or Alabama. And that happens sometimes. There's kids, I can name multiple kids. There was a kid at Auburn High, D, I think his name was D. Finley, a safety that just had no interest in Auburn and Alabama, went to Florida. There's lots of kids like that, that just, for whatever reason, you grow up in state and you want to get out. You want to get out of state. So I thought for a long time that seemed to be the pathway that Jared Smith was going to take. I think for a long time there was a lot of predictions that it was going to be Georgia. For a little bit after that, it was looking like South Carolina and several other not very far off schools, but just definitely that vibe that this was going to be another kid that wanted to get out of state. He was at Spain Park last year. For some reason, in the middle of the year, I think he transferred to Thompson. He's going to finish out his high school career at Thompson. And I mean, he came in for a workout around that camp season, came in for a workout. Auburn fell in love with him, said it's time. Look, I know you may be looking outside, ready to get away, but we need you to stay home. Really, really put on the full court press, really put the pressure on him. Man, Josh Aldridge, if he gets his hooks in somebody, it's basically over. I mean, this guy is just a monster, and he gets the guys that he goes after. And Jared Smith was singled out. You saw the momentum start to pick up. You saw the crystal ball start to pull in. And then he goes ahead and pops this past Saturday and just keeps this insane role that Auburn's going on, not only just in state, but just in general, just commit after commit. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down anytime soon. I see someone said, hey, what's a good scouting report on Jared Smith? Look, I'm not an actual football scout, but you got 6'6". 235, a good burst off the edge. And we don't really typically have a lot of those type guys that can stand up and play outside linebacker, can put their hand in the ground, can do a little bit of both. He seems like he's going to be a guy that's going to be very, very flexible and be able to play maybe multiple positions at Auburn. Hey, maybe you get him in, you try him out at pass rusher, and if it's for whatever reason, it doesn't necessarily work there, he doesn't fit there, hey, he's got the frame to bulk up and play around 250, 260 plus, and sort of get in that mold of maybe an even a Keldrick Falk type role. But right now, I think you want to start him off. At edge, use that length, use that speed to be able to still bend. His huddle's really good, makes a lot of plays in the backfield, and he's just going to get better this year. And you're going to get a lot more good film on him with no transfer, one solid year under Thompson. It's a football factory, puts out a lot of good players. I just think it's going to be a big addition for Auburn, a big addition for this class and to keep the ball rolling. Let me give you a little bit of a historical perspective. If you follow me on Twitter, I've already put this out there, but a little bit of historical perspective of what's going on, because I've listened to different podcasts. I've listened to a lot of Alabama people speak on this. I've listened to a lot of Auburn people speak on this. And I hear so much about this is no, like I hear so much downplaying of the historical perspective as far as the run that Auburn's going here on the in-state trail, like making headway in state. Oh, we recruit nationally. Oh, you don't have to recruit in state anymore. Oh, it's not that big a deal anymore. Oh, Auburn, Alabama doesn't necessarily put out a whole ton of NFL players. You have to reach. You have to do this. You have to do that. But let's talk about this for a second, okay? Not every single recruiting website was around back when Saban came. I think it was only Rivals. And then 247 was in 2010, and then closer to 2020, On3 joined, and then ESPN was somewhere in there as well. So you had to do a little bit of jumping back and forth, okay, to find out the real numbers on this. So it was a little bit of a moving target, a little bit of hit or miss. But basically, when Nick Saban came to Alabama in 2008, from 2008 to 2023, Alabama went on a run in-state with top 100 in-state players that is pretty daggum unprecedented, okay? I say unprecedented. It may have been this way back in the 70s as well. But I'm not talking about just recruiting the top 10 in-state players, because, you know, some classes are deeper than others. Sometimes there's a lot more talent in-state some years than others. Some years the top 10 may not be very talented after, say, five or six. It fluctuates, okay? So what you have to do is when you have those top players in state, when you have those top 100 guys, you got to be able to go get them. You got to be able to be willing to go battle, willing to go after those guys, and willing to go land them and do what it takes to go get those kids. And from 2008 to 2023, there were 78 total players in the state of Alabama that were top 100 in the country. Okay. So, you know, that's 16 years. That's a little bit right at almost half of the players, half of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama were top 100 players. Okay. Alabama in that span got 49 of those kids to go play for Alabama. That's obviously, you do the math, that's well over 50%. Well over 50% of those kids went to Alabama. In that same span, Auburn, through a few different coaches, still, Auburn only got 10 in 16 years. 10 top 100 recruits from your own state. 10 top 100 recruits from your own state in 16 years. Okay, that's tough. That's tough. And the crazy thing is Auburn put together some very good classes from a rankings perspective, but that just shows you that you can, if you're getting just a bunch of four-star wide receivers and a four-star tight ends and this, that, and the other, it's hard. You can have an inflated looking class, but in reality, what type of players are you actually getting? Okay. So in 16-ish years, Auburn only got 10 of the top 100 players available from the state of Alabama out of 78. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Pretty, I mean, it's really a look in the mirror moment of where Auburn's come from. Okay. In 2024 and 2025, though, okay, now, granted, you got to roll with me a little bit here because some of these 2025 kids, I guess a flip could possibly be on the table. We don't think that's going to happen, but just assuming, hey, on the other side, Auburn could add to that. There's still two out there that are inside the top 100 that Auburn could pick up and add to this total. But if you take the 2024 class, which was Auburn versus – or which is Hugh versus Saban – and then you take this 2025 class currently, which is Hugh versus obviously DeBoer and staff. Auburn has already picked up. There's been 16 total top 100 players between last year and this year's class. Alabama's got four. Auburn's got 10. Okay. That just goes to show you in two years, Auburn has been able to replicate what they did the previous 16 years. Hugh Freeze has been able to do. Get as many top 100 in-state players in 2 years as Auburn has the previous 16 under Nick Saban. So that speaks volumes. Okay, that speaks volumes. No matter what your friends say, no matter what your coworkers say, no matter what your cousins say, that is a historic shift. As far as in-state players go, and it's looking like it's heading in Auburn's favor. So I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that and really put that in perspective of where Auburn's going, where Auburn's come from, and where Auburn's going. Hey, we haven't even gotten to the 2026 class. I'm not even trying to count those yet, okay? But there's even more. There's another eight in the 2026 class. Alabama's kind of going through a pretty hot little run right here of big-time talent. And there's another a big class, and Auburn's already got three of those kids committed, and they're all top 100 players, leading for several more. So this doesn't seem like the train's going to stop anytime soon, and it's been a lot of fun. I want you to just remember that, okay? There's some, you know, I'm going to go into the questions here in just a minute, but with Jared Smith's commitment, he did a little interview. He said a lot of interesting things about Deuce Knight. And I think it's something to be maybe on the lookout. It seems like the cat's sort of out of the bag, so to speak. So that could be something to definitely watch here in the near future. So let's hit some questions and we'll keep rolling through it. So first one, C5, it's us and FSU for Krumma. Is it us for FSU? Is it us and FSU for Usman Krumma? That's the way it seems. And to be totally honest, I'm not sure that the confidence is mega high at Auburn right now. If you were to have to commit today, I think August 11th is a day that he sort of put out there as a possible date to sort of pencil, highlight that he could possibly pop sometime at that point in time. That would be, I guess, this time next week. But again, it's nothing official. It's just something to watch. I think Auburn's got some ground to make up there. I'm not really sure which way you go at running back after that. You should probably just stick with Alvin. Maybe look at somebody like do you want to try to go flip a Turbo Rogers from Alabama? Do you want to go with the DeJuan Morris from the Tennessee kid that's a lightning bolt? Or do you want to put all your eggs in the basket and go after hard after a Killing Deer from Mississippi? I think it's AK. He calls himself AK. Do you go after that guy? I mean, is anybody off the table really right now with when Hugh gets on him, especially a kid from Mississippi? Is anybody really off the table? I'm not really sure there are. So I think that's what's going on at running back, and we'll kind of see how that goes. Let's see here. This is what we were talking about. Derek Anderson, oh man, we're on the rise. Did Jared literally say we getting Deuce? I know it wasn't literally saying, but it was very close. It was pretty daggone close, Derek. He was he basically said he's excited about Deuce. He's been staying on him. They've been talking a lot. I think it's finally okay now to say that Deuce did make it for Big Cat Weekend. I think Auburn did a really good job working with reporters, working with a lot of people to kind of look, let's kind of keep the heat. Let's keep the heat off this kid a little bit. Let's, you know, it's a big deal. He's got, you know, Notre Dame has a lot of, you know, restrictions as far as visits goes and how they handle. They do it really well. They do it very, it's very buttoned up and they stay on top of it. Let's keep the heat off of him a little bit. Let's don't make it a big stunt. A publicity stunt. He's going to visit us. He's going to go visit Ole Miss. Let's see what happens. But they did bring him in. I think he got there late Saturday, and maybe I think he stayed a few days. I don't think it was just a one little hop and stop and let's roll. I think he stayed for a couple of days, and Auburn made a really good. I think it made a really good last minute sort of pitch, last minute sell to sort of get Deuce. At least the wheels turning to say, hey, look, Auburn could be the spot for you. You're going to have receivers to throw to from you know, last year's class. You just got Derek Smith, another great guy that can pair with you. And then what sort of pull does adding a Deuce Knight to this class make with a guy like a Caleb Cunningham or some wide receiver that maybe committed elsewhere that wasn't really looking at Auburn until – you know, Auburn finally locked in and got a quarterback. And again, I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying this is a what if scenario, but it does look like it's moving in a real, really, really good direction. TCB, QB flip. That's what we're talking about. If it were to happen, I think Auburn needs it to happen quickly. You can't continue to just sort of keep selling hope that you're going to bring in a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback every single year. I know a lot of people, and a lot of people are sort of in this mindset that if you bring in a quarterback, that means you don't have faith in guys that you already have. Or if you put so much emphasis on a quarterback, that means you don't really have faith in the guys you have. And that's just not the case. You got to have a quarterback every single year. Okay. These kids want to come, they want to come in with a quarterback. They want to know who they're going to be in the trenches with, who's going to be their, you know, their leader, who could be their signal caller throughout their career. Receivers want to know it. Running backs want to know it. Heck, even offensive linemen want to know it as well. And there may be a lineman or two that may be watching this Deuce Knight recruitment as well. Stephen Fincher, where can I get one of those hats? Send me a DM and I might can get you one. So if you want one of these hats or something similar, DM me on Twitter. I might be able to hook you up. If we don't get Tim the Toolman Taylor, Toolman Taylor, if we don't get Deuce, what's the move? It seems like KJ isn't much of an option. This is a great question, and I've thought a lot about this. You probably still take a big run, a big push at KJ Lacy, but there's not really a lot of options left after that. 48 out of the top 50 quarterbacks are already committed. So no matter which way you turn, you're more than likely going to be having to pick off a committed quarterback somewhere else. So, and that's, even though it's a lot easier now than it was in the past, it's still a little bit tougher than actually, going and picking off an uncommitted quarterback. So if we don't get Deuce, I think you're going to have to take a reality check and take a really big look and decide, okay, what do we want to do here? Do we want to go take a flyer on somebody? Do we want to make a big run at KJ Lacy? Or, hey, do we want to just sort of hold those funds and go hardcore on next year's quarterback? There's a lot of different options. I think if it's not Deuce, you're going to see a big, big reset of what the plan is as far as quarterback goes, because you've sort of exhausted, I don't want to say all of the options, but you've exhausted quite a bit of them. I mean, just been snake bit a little bit as far as quarterback goes this year. And I don't think it's necessarily indicative of an issue at quarterback recruiting. I think it's just literally you just had some bad luck, you know. You went hard at Hassan Longstreet and it didn't work out. Then you probably rode the juju train just a little bit too far. You could have probably had Deuce Knight earlier. You probably could have had KJ Lacy earlier, But you know what? If you just settle, and again, I say that, it sounds bad. If you just, when these kids aren't kids that you would just consider settling on. But if you feel like you've evaluated someone higher, go after them. You know, you got to go after those guys. You got to win those battles. And then, you know, if this is a consolation prize, a Deuce Knight who wins the Elite 11 or gets at least one site votes him the Elite 11 champion and is sort of improving steadily, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it. But if we don't get a quarterback, if we don't get Deuce, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure that I'm not sure that there is a clear cut plan as far as right now. It may be something you have to look at in the future. Another question, Derek Anderson, maybe these few from Thompson will help with Trent Seaborn, the phenom, the young phenom quarterback from Thompson. Can't hurt. Keep pulling in these kids from Thompson. You keep going after these traditional powerhouse schools, and you're going to end up doing pretty well if you can be successful there. I think Hugh and Mark Freeman have a really good relationship, and that's the head coach at Thompson. And I would almost be penciling in Trent Seaborn to be the 2027 quarterback. I really would. At this point in time, I think he loves Hugh. I think you saw he was retweeting Jared Smith's commitment. I think that's big. You got four guys now. You got four guys now in 2 years from Thompson. I think that definitely doesn't hurt for kids like a kid like Trent Seaborn, who's going into his sophomore year with more. I think he just had to turn down a big NIL deal with like Leaf trading cards or something. It's crazy. Google that story. He had to turn down, or he either had to or did turn down a big NIL deal already. This kid's only going into the 10th grade. He's won the state championship as an eighth grader. And then threw for a pile of yards, had a big year again last year. Definitely can't hurt. Definitely can't hurt there. So, Mr. Beautiful, hearing we're getting Deuce. Hey, it's hard to close off the sounds. It's hard to tune it out that all of the noise and all the chatter that's starting to build around Deuce Knight. Like I said, I think the cat's kind of out of the bag. Alvin Henderson sort of let the cat out of the bag. Jared Smith sort of let the cat out of the bag. It does seem like, you know, you have several different recruiting analysts that are saying, hey, Auburn is the one to watch here. He did go to Ole Miss for a short visit. I don't think it went well at all. I'd love to do a whole show on how I think that visit went, or how I've been told that visit went in the future. Maybe we'll do that if things play out the way we think they will. I think that the train starting to pick up steam a little bit as far as the Deuce Knight train, and boy, oh boy, would that send some shockwaves through the country. Hey, that would put Auburn big time. Put the country big time on notice that Auburn ain't playing games. Hey, we'll go after the traditional powers and we'll take your kids. We'll go. Hey, I don't care what names on the helmet, what names on the jersey, what names on the stadium. There's nobody off limits. You flip Deuce Knight. Hey, nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. You better just buckle up because Hugh's coming. Let me keep digging through these. Cam. I love to add the offensive tackle kid, Babalola. I think that's how you say it, Babalola. Not Babaloba, but Babalola. I just call him Babs. I don't even know if that's the right thing to call him. I don't even know if I should call him that. He may hate that nickname, but I'm just calling him Babs as far as when I got to address it, because I don't want to mess up the last name. I mentioned earlier that there could be some offensive linemen that are looking at this situation with Deuce Knight. This would be one of them. Okay, it seems like, you know, Michigan possibly could be a little bit in the lead, but there's a lot of stuff going down at Michigan right now, and I'm wondering how that's going to play into things, how that's going to affect things. You know, the Auburn staff is letting him know about it. So you had the whole cheating scandal, the stealing signs stuff. It looks like they got level one allegations, which are big time. You're talking possibly some probation, possibly even some loss of scholarships that happened under Harbaugh. That's a big deal. You throw out some playoff bans which I could possibly be on the table, could be on the table for something like this. At level one's pretty big deal. So if that chatter starts to pick up and it's something that could hit pretty quick, best believe they're letting Babs know all about the stuff that could be going down at Michigan. And I know he's watching to see what happens with this Deuce Knight thing. You pull off Deuce Knight, you kind of open the door for a lot of different guys, and I think this would possibly be one of them. So keep rolling through this. Back to Derek Anderson. Imagine if we flip the cornerback from Ohio State. I know you're talking about Naeem Offord, who was also here for Big Cat Weekend, who's also been a huge target, who we've talked about on this show. Hugh said, hey, write the story. I'm not missing him. I'm not missing that kid. I'm gonna get that kid. And hey, if you watch what Hugh's done so far, if he flips Deuce Knight, hey, I mean, who's to say he can't? Who's to say he won't be able to go get Naeem Offord? If you get Naeem Offord, now you're talking 9 out of the top 10 players in the state. Then you're only looking at Zion Grady, who very well could be very well Auburn could want to put the full court press on with him as well. And then you get the full sweep. I saw you, Josh Aldridge. I saw you put that tweet out there, the sweep. And that can only mean one thing. The sweep can only mean one thing. And that is, sweeping the top 10 of the state of Alabama. And that would be, obviously, that would include Naeem Offord, and that would include Zion Grady as well. So B. Palmer 636, was Deuce Knight at Big Cat? Yes, we answered that just a little bit earlier. The cat sort of out of the bag. He snuck in late Saturday night, and I think he stayed a couple of days. And then, hey, I'll tell you what, who else let the cat out of the bag? It's freaking Deuce Knight, posting pictures on his Instagram story inside hotels of Auburn. There's some internet sleuths out there. They figured that out in a hot minute. Hey, look at this wallpaper. This wallpaper is at this hotel in Auburn. That says Auburn, Alabama on the thing. Hey, that's a picture in the background of Albie. I know exactly where that kid is. That was and it was like a July photo dump. And what the heck? Big Cat Weekend was in July. Like, he kind of put, if he was trying to be a secret, Deuce didn't do a really good job of keeping a secret himself. But I ain't mad at him. Yes, he was definitely here 100%. And it seems like Auburn is definitely picking up some steam. A lot of WDEs, and y'all know, it's right back to you. Let's see here. Let's keep rolling through. This is a good one. Caveman, PRDR. Hugh has been able to do the unimaginable to me in recruiting. I'm with you. Now we need the on-the-field success. We need to improve on-the-field success. I've been talking about this for the last couple of shows. You absolutely have to be able to marry the on-the-field results this year with the recruiting. You don't have time to play around anymore. You don't have time to, you can't continue to sell a product and you're not showing any results. It can get you through that first year. Hey, I really got to beef up the roster. You can point to the deficiencies and show how the kids that we're adding are going to fill those. But at the end of the day, man, at some point in time, you got to put wins on the score. You got to put wins in the win column. You got to put points on the scoreboard. I do like, and this is not just, I'm trying not to just 100% boog. I do like the way the schedule's set up. I do like the stuff I'm hearing coming out of the offense. Hugh has a very confident, last year he basically told us, y'all, we're not going to be very good. As without 100% saying it, he basically told us last year, we're not going to be very good. Y'all better temper your expectations. We got to recruit. We got to get better. He has a little bit of a confidence about him in a lot of the stuff that he's saying. It's not a lot of that this year. It's not a lot of temper expectations. It's a lot of hope and progress and bragging on players and things like that and coaches. I think Hugh feels pretty confident that he can make some stuff happen. He can score some points with the guys that we have right now. And And I don't, I mean, if you look at it on paper, I kind of get it. I kind of see why he could have that confidence. You look at the wide receivers, you look at Peyton Thorne coming back, and then you have the synergy of him, Derek Nix, and Ken Austin. I mean, that's just massive. You got multiple dudes that everybody thinks the same way. Everybody has the same mindset when it comes to offense, the same terminology, the same everything. You're not having to learn somebody else's playbook. Everybody has the same playbook. Everybody's on the same page. That in general has got to make you feel good about the offense and possibly being able to marry those two together, the what you're selling and then the results on the field. Mr. Beautiful, again, Notre Dame coaches are worried about Auburn taking Deuce. I know the message boards are worried. I know the message boards are very worried. I even saw, there was a funny troll post on one of the Notre Dame boards, and it was basically like, here's what's going to happen. And it was a timeline of like what the news will be. First, it's going to be, it's not going to happen. Then the second is going to be like, hey, we've heard interest in Auburn. We've heard the interest in Deuce Knight has interest in Auburn. We're checking into it. Then it's going to be the next one. Hey, steam's picking up. Notre Dame's aware of it, blah, 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 blah. Basically, everything's played out just like this guy's troll post said. And even the board moderator says, I hate to sort of say exactly what's like step four on that troll post, but that's what's happening right now. Notre Dame's very worried of the possibility of Deuce Knight, and I think it's justified worry for sure. Let's get a new one. Pat Kenny, bring Naeem Offord, Andrew Babalola, and KJ Lacy back home. I wouldn't be mad at that lineup at all. KJ Lacy is a dadgum good quarterback. Okay, KJ Lacy is already a millennium ahead of most high school quarterbacks when it comes to running an RPO offense, which Hugh loves to run. So where he physically may have a lower ceiling, his floor is incredibly high. Like, you're talking about a guy, if he can be healthy, he could come in a tight, and you're not going to have a ton of drop off. Now, you may not be able to be just incredibly explosive, but early he could be a guy that could step in and really, you know, keep the thing rolling if you have an injury or something like that, and then kind of grow into, get a little bit bigger. You never know. If he grows 2 inches, he's an All-American. You know what I mean? So if KJ Lacy were to end up be the guy, at this point in time, I don't think it looks that way, but if he were to end up being the guy, I would be ecstatic. I think he's a really talented quarterback. And if it were me, I'd probably go back and go ahead and take him in January when we were talking pretty heavily with him. But, you know, these guys had to have guys higher on their board, and they went after and did everything they could to try to land those guys. And you got to give them credit there. Keeping on rolling through. Let's see. Stuart Donald. There's another young phenom quarterback in the state, Gunner Rivers. Phillip Rivers' son led his team to the playoffs as a true freshman. Phillip grew up an Auburn fan. The famous story. Wanted to come to Auburn. Phillip Rivers wanted to come to Auburn. And I think we asked him, he said he could come, but he had to play tight end. We see how that worked out. He went to NC State. I think Alabama and Auburn actually told him the same thing. But, yes, Phillip Rivers' son plays at St. Michael in Fairhope, Alabama. They throw for a billion yards a season, and he's been doing it since he was in the eighth grade. So he is a young guy coming up that I think could be definitely somebody to watch. I think he would be another one of those maybe 2027 ish type players to be on the lookout as far as guys in state that could, you know, be high on the board. Not sure how mobile he is, but I do know he's very familiar with throwing the ball all over the field. I've seen him do it in person. He's a really good player. Good call there, Stuart. Whit Flicks, YT. Ryder Lyons, I think, is the 2026 commit. Whit, I want to be with you, man. I'm hoping you're right here. You're talking a very, very highly touted quarterback in the 2026 class from California. He was here on a visit. He did three visits right around the last little time you could visit in this last little open period. Auburn was the last one. Hugh knocked it out of the park. I know he did get a prediction to USC. I would imagine you're going to be battling USC regardless. Very, very talented kid. I'd love to have him. Not really clear who that 2026 kid could be. There's been some talk that Trent Seaborn could actually reclass to that class, but I'm not 1,000% sure that's actually going to happen. I think they kind of shut that down, and he's going to stick in the 2027 class. So that 2026 quarterback, you know, picture is just not very, not very clear. Good question here, Wesley Brooks. Do you think we'll hold on to everyone? In short, no. No, Wesley, I don't. I think there was going to be some attrition, but I think it's going to be attrition by addition, if that makes sense. I do think you just got to look at it logically, okay? Look at who Auburn's still going for, okay? And then look at the room that they're going to be coming into, okay? You go get a guy, if you were to go get a guy like Naheem Offord, go get a guy like Naheem Offord. What do the other six DBs in the class want to do? Like, okay, now I've got that much more. I got that much more ahead of me. I got Naheem Offord, one of the top players in the whole country, the number one player in the state. What is that? You know, what does that look like for my career? So, I don't think right now. I don't think there's anybody that you're going to lose that you're going to, at least right now. Now, if things could change, there could be a bag drop at the last hour in the 11th hour. But as of right now, I think you probably look at that DB class and see there could be some guys come and go out of that one. Cause I think you still like Shamar Arnaud, who's from Carrollton, who's committed to USC, who's still flirting with Auburn. You got Zealous Hicks, who's from the 2026 class, but talked about reclassifying into the 2025 class from Carrollton. Again, you're just loading up defensive backs. It could be you just have to see how things go there. Just going to take a couple more. We're going to call tonight. This has been awesome. You guys, great questions. And we're going to just take a few more and then we're going to call tonight. Back to Derek Anderson. He wins the MVP as far as most questions tonight, and they've all been pretty good. Derek Anderson, has either Alabama or Auburn ever gotten all top 10 players from the state? I went back all the way to 2008 and it hasn't happened, getting all 10. Now it wouldn't be, Alabama got eight several times. Like there'd be times where Alabama got eight out of the top 10 and then like a kid would go out of state and Auburn would another one. I don't think it's happened. And I know where you're going with that is if Auburn could pull the sweep. If Auburn could pull the sweep with flipping Naheem Offord, flipping Zion Grady, then you have the top 10 in the state of Alabama. I think that would have to be that would probably be if not the only time that's ever happened. Auburn, a school, Alabama or Auburn, landing all top 10 from the state. Question from Tiff. Can I ask a question? Absolutely not, Tiff. Good night. Tiff's a good buddy of mine. I'm just joking with it. Let's see here. Here we go. This is a good question. I actually am going to let Tiff ask a question. Can I be excited about our wide receivers after last year's Shane Hooks debacle? Look, you had the tweet go out from of the one-handed unbelievable catch from Cam Coleman, and then it has to just harken back and make you think about the hype around Shane Hooks as one-handed catch. Look, I think if you put Shane Hooks on this team, this coming up team in this new offense, it's probably a different story. I think you're excited about the wide receivers just because of the offense in general, just because of the cohesion, the everybody sort of pulling in the same direction. I think that gives you the freedom to feel a little bit excited to watch a Keandre Lambert Smith, a Robert Lewis, Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, hulking super teens. I think just the offense in general, Hugh running the show should get you excited about the wide receivers, because when he's run the show, it's been pretty good. Let's see. Let's keep going a little bit more. some really funny ones that I'm not gonna read out, but I think we're pretty much done. I think we're pretty much done tonight. One more. Thomas Jones, what do you think about the Bama guy on Locked On Auburn saying losing the state isn't bad in recruiting? I would just say simply this. to whatever that guy's name is. It's never been done at this level. It's never happened. Auburn's, so you can say it's not a big deal. The reason you can say it's not a big deal is because you've never had to experience it. You, in the modern era of recruiting rankings, you've never had to experience it. Now, maybe if you've lived long enough to go back to the 80s when you were a kid or things like that, Alabama has gotten all the best players out of the state of Alabama every single year. Okay, it's just that's just the way it's gone. That's just the way it's gone. And then now all of a sudden, they're not. So now all of a sudden, it's not a big deal anymore. It's not a big deal to recruit in-state. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Keep going to California. Keep going to Texas. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Let's see what happens. We're going to keep – Hugh's going to keep supplanting himself, cementing himself in these Alabama high schools, work in Mississippi, work in Georgia, work in Florida. You go – Do what you got to do. Go get you some guys out there, you know, and then when they get homesick after year one when they're not playing and they can fly all the way back out and go to USC or whatever. I'm just saying we'll see what happens. The only reason you're saying is it's not a big deal is because you've never had to experience it before. You've never had to really live it before and you're having to live it right now, and I know it's got to be a little bit uncomfortable. I know it's got to be a little bit uncomfortable. Now, look, Alabama's going to be good next year. They could have, 10, 11 wins, and that I could see that easily just because I think Milroe is that good, to be able to carry that team. And that may be able to buy them some time to create relationships. But I'll just go back to this, okay? In the same period of time that Kalen DeBoer has been at Alabama, when – Hugh Freeze was at Auburn that same period of time. He had already flipped Perry Thompson, DeMarcus Riddick, beat Georgia for Joseph Phillips, landed Malcolm Simmons, started picking off players in the top 10 of Alabama, okay, already. Let's rely on old relationships. He came in, got to work, and got it done. I don't think it's impossible. Clearly it's not. It's been done. So, we can say it's just a California thing. We can say it's a previous relationship, but in the same period of time that Kalen DeBoer's been at Alabama, Hugh Freeze came to Auburn, and in that same period of time started flipping Alabama commits and getting some of the top players in the state of Alabama in that 2024 class. I think that's going to be it for tonight, guys. I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Make sure you hit that alert bell. Who knows? I kind of dig in this Sunday night live thing. We might have to give this a few more spins and see how this thing goes. So I really appreciate all the questions. The questions were great. The conversation was great. I really appreciate you guys. The train's still rolling. Keep your head on a swivel this week. There could be some big stuff going down, and we'll be able to hopefully be celebrating here pretty soon. You know I'm going to be back every single day, be back Monday, be back Tuesday, all the way through Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of the evening. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast live. Stay buttoned.